B-Pod Studios.
You want to talk sports in Boston? You talk to these guys.
I'm just going to say something quick. If you want to get everything, just go see Big Al and Reveal.
Zorak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Three Thursday morning, Zoldak and Bertrand Hardy for Beetle Christian Arcan in. Lot more Patriot stuff to get to today. Zo, are you ready?
I'm ready. This is going to be a fancy, fancy Wednesday as opposed to other Wednesdays.
Well, it's Thursday.
This is going to be a fancy, fancy Thursday as opposed to other Thursdays.
Oh, I know why.
I've been coming in here for a while, and we have an outstanding coffee machine. Every day I just do the same thing. I get my black coffee, Mountain Ground, like the medium breakfast blend, just psh, regular.
Mountain Ground.
Or whatever that is. Mountain Brew. Whatever that thing is in there.
They grind it up with a stone.
And Hardy was in ahead of me, and I saw this foam on the top of his cup. I'm like, where'd you get that? And he goes, oh, you can make it right here. I have a cappuccino right now.
Well,
I feel like I'm at a fancy internet cafe with a sports flair to it.
Calm down a second. Because there's no espresso in it. It's still coffee, but you have to select the button that says whip the coffee.
And I selected the cappuccino button, and I never knew we had that. I came in here.
Oh, so you did go cappuccino.
I did. It's a cappuccino. Look at it.
So is there
a half calf?
Half calf decaf?
Oh, no, full throttle. Ooh.
So there's a... There's espresso beans up there?
This is like when Beavis discovered cappuccino.
You know what? You asked that, and I see
great
Martha.
Cornholio. Yeah.
You see employee number one in the building, Martha, when that machine goes down and she gets her three-step stool out, and then she has this lock on top. Like she has a key.
I tell her every time, please be careful up there.
She's got like these bags that she lifts up and pours all the beans in. And
I just thought they were all coffee beans there.
No.
So if you have a cappuccino, Arcan, are you like a big coffee guy?
I don't drink coffee at all.
Oh, you don't? All right, no, so you're useless.
I have nothing to add.
T-Bone's a big coffee guy. Cappuccino is espresso and then the steamed milk, right?
Yeah.
So that's what you have there.
Sounds about right.
All right.
That's fantastic.
Huh. I just whipped the coffee. Do you remember, Zoe?
I might get dressed up next time I come in here.
For like a month, I had a coffee mug that had a little button on it, and there was a little fan in the bottom of
Shut up.
And it would stir the coffee. So if T-Bone remembers it.
I remember.
That thing was awesome. And it
you
worked.
Didn't even need to ask you about it. You just showed everybody.
Well, that's pretty much that's my MO. If I have a cool new toy, I just show you, even if you have no interest in it. I say, hey, look at this. And a little button on the handle, and it would go.
Didn't you?
And it would, even if you just had a coffee and a splash of milk in there, it would whip it around and kind of create that froth on top.
It's delightful. Spoiled you.
This is how stupid we were when we were younger. Like, didn't you just buy an $8,000 coffee maker or something for your, like, you have that thing with the little, that metal piece that comes out and whips it for you, right?
Well,
that steam.
Super Blonde Blonde got me for my birthday a coffee machine, but it also has an espresso maker and
works
then a steamer,
great.
So you can. T-Bone was afraid to use it when he was at the house. Did you use that ever?
The coffee machine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you did. You just made coffee,
Just the coffee.
You didn't use the steamer or make
venture.
An espresso or
nope.
anything.
Nope.
It's great. It's great. And generally, I don't take the time to, like, you know, steam up the almond coconut milk on the weekdays, but on the weekends I do. Oh, it's delightful.
Steam the what?
I use almond coconut milk instead of regular milk.
Got it.
That's how fancy he is.
It's not fancy.
That's taking it to another level.
It's a lactose.
Have
me drink a glass of milk. I'll be tootsie goodbye.
Can you steam up like Lactaid?
Try it.
Anything that has any kind of, it's got to have a certain amount of fat content in it. And
what's
the
that
almond,
stuff? What's that breast milk? Meconium, that first stuff that first comes out?
Oh, the
you
liquid gold.
Drink that.
Yeah.
That's liquid gold. You bring that out at like fancy steakhouses.
Can you whip that?
Last time we started a show like this, Cam Newton was released at about this moment. So yeah. I'm hoping we have a huge development.
All right.
1007's Olak and Bertrand, Hardy in for Beadle. Christian Arcand is here.
Welcome to the Sports Cafe.
Let's start with Lewis Riddick here, who was on with Phil Perry on what's the name of his podcast there? Perry's Pods or something.
Perry's Musings?
Patriots Talk Podcast.
Patriots Talk Podcast. All right.
Pat's Patriot Talk Perry Talk Podcast.
Our friend Phil Perry on with Lewis Riddick. Here's what he had to say about the Patriots.
People wanted to bash on him about, well, he had all these wide receivers and these weapons at Alabama, and he was always throwing open windows. You know, when people say that, that just tells me right there, you're not watching. You're not watching tape. You're just not. And you're not watching it very close. And if you are watching it, either you don't know what you're looking at, or you already have a preconceived notion about what Mac Jones is, and you refuse to believe anything else. So what did he do this preseason, right? He's throwing people open, as people love to use that terminology. Can he throw people? Yeah. His first preseason game, what do? They go up-tempo, no huddle, because he was, you know, things were kind of a little bit sluggish for him against Washington. Josh goes, let's just go up-tempo, see how this works. There's five wides, it's empty, and they're just like zoom, zoom, zoom. You don't do that with rookie quarterbacks like that. No other rookie quarterback was doing that. That just tells you that I'm sure right there, along with all the practices that you watched yourself, that Josh said, man, the limit, there are no limits with this guy. And that's what Bill wants. Bill wants smart, man. I know. I've been through it. Bill will take lesser athletes for guys who won't screw it up.
So that's Lewis Riddick, and you can hear why he's on ESPN and does Monday Night Football.
Lewis is very good at what he does.
Very good. Very good. So let's take those. Basically, what he's saying is
he'll be running a team one day, by the way. I know he's been interviewed for that, for the GM spots and that, but Lewis is that into it. He's been in the office. He's been in the player part of it. He's a great analyst. Go ahead, though.
Doesn't he have family like that's currently in like front office in the NFL? I know his brother played, but doesn't he have cousins?
We're like, not sure.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. Okay. Yes. His cousins, Will Lewis and Tim Lewis, also played in the NFL and currently hold management positions for professional teams. There we go. He really likes Mac Jones. Yep. Let's take a couple of pieces here. He says he was throwing guys open. Zoe, was Mac Jones throwing guys open?
I don't understand what throwing guys open is, first of all.
I was hoping you would explain it to me.
I think what he was saying was he was thrown to spots to get guys open. Like if the guy's covered, and I'm not sure because I never heard Lewis use that interpretation when you watch Mac play or other quarterbacks play. So a guy could be covered and maybe he's guiding the ball to get the guy open.
Is it like the Aussie throw?
Yeah, throwing guys. Yeah, that's a good point, Tom. So if Devin's running that vertical like he did the other day and the safety's there is covering him, I'm going to back shoulder here, throw it to you. So that's me throwing you open. I assume that's what he's talking about. Maybe he slipped there.
Quick clarification here. Adam Jones is telling us that the meconium is definitely not what Zoe thinks. I believe that is the tarish first stool that a baby has.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. It's colostrum, is what I'm looking for.
Yes, that's the liquid gold.
So you don't want to drink the meconium. You want to drink the colostrum.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Adam Jones. He's got the youngest.
He's right. It's the awful first poo that comes out that looks like alien poo.
Yeah, right, right. So thank you for clarifying that. It's better.
Hey, I appreciate Jones listening. I mean,
10:11 on a Thursday morning. It's Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy and for Beadle. Christian Arcand is here. So Lewis Riddick really likes Mac Jones. And he says, don't be put off by what people say about, he had all these receivers at Alabama and he's, but I'm sorry, Zoe, but that's still part of it.
Didn't Lewis just call Bill cold-blooded for cutting Cam and starting the kid?
Asante Samuel.
No, I know that, but I think Asante doubled down on Lewis's
tweet. I think he
tweet.
Was quote tweeting Lewis Riddick's thing about Bill being cold blooded. There seems to be a bit of a contradiction there.
There's a lot of people right now that are going back and forth. And like I said, all the people closest to Bill all assume that Cam was going to be the starter and they were going to redshirt this kid and they were going to groom that his body's not ready and all that. That's been the tone coming out of friends of Bill, so to speak. And now they're all having to talk about, well, Bill's going with the kid and why. That's what you're getting here.
Throwing guys open, going up tempo in the last preseason game. Things that you would expect to see from a quarterback that is going to be starting. However, it doesn't change the fact that throughout camp, and even in that last preseason game, Cam Newton was the one taking the field and being treated like the presumptive starter for the regular season.
Yeah, and I called the order. Yeah.
I still think something changed. I think something changed either during that game or over the weekend or even on Monday to make them change gears on this. And I think it was the plan going way back to January. I think it was the plan throughout camp, and something happened relatively recently. It may have been trending toward Mac Jones having a real shot at the job, but I don't think he had the job until the very end.
But even like Cam's incompletions in that game on Sunday night, and maybe that's the way they look at it too. Okay, those were covered receivers. They weren't close to even attempting to complete any of those balls, except the Myers one. The Myers one, he had it in his hands down the middle.
Yeah,
Cam's getting ripped a lot for that one. Myers should have caught that. And maybe they look at that too, like, okay, well, we've seen the kid have guys covered like that, but his ball placement throwing open to open receipt, like making the guy, you know, turn to where I want him to be, even when he's covered. And that's going to be Mac's biggest challenge moving forward here.
And wasn't that the thing that Cam struggled with the most? Was
back shoulder.
Well, throwing to the spot as opposed to throwing to the guy.
Right.
You know, and waiting for him and watching him in the pocket.
Yeah.
And so you
he's a better thrower against zone than man.
Yeah. And you watch the game a lot differently than I do. But it just seemed to me like Cam was always waiting to throw into the guy who is expecting the ball and looking for it, as opposed to, you know, what you see from other quarterbacks around the league.
Yeah.
And not to draw the comparison to Brady again, but my God, Brady would drop, throw, and I'm thinking, like, does that guy even know the ball's coming to him? Well, most times he did, and that was, you know, that was what you came to look for. Didn't see it as much with Cam, and now I guess that's what we're hoping for, that we're going to see eventually with Mac on a consistent basis.
And I think Curran actually tweeted the Newton presser out, I think it was like July 30th, where Cam was talking about, you know, I'm still dropping back, and I'm like, I'm unsure where I'm going, but, you know, it's that hesitation to where that's when he hangs on to it, to where he's got to see the guy open before, you know, he unleashes it. Now, he could zip it in there, but he's got to see it first, where instead of you're anticipating it. So,
all right. Not everybody feels this way. We're going to get to Julian Edelman a little bit later. And Mike Lombardi says something about Bill and his timeline with regard to Mac Jones. We'll hear what Mike Lombardi had to say next year on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Up to date at work.
Rose. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
smelled it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Did he think that Mac would come along this quickly? Obviously, I don't think that's true. I think he felt like Cam could get him through. Now, I do know that in 2022, they felt really good that Mac Jones would be the starter based on what they saw. But this kid kind of has developed. And this is why I kind of thought that Mac Jones would have been the third pick over Trey Lance, because he was ready to play for Sanford. I thought he was more ready to play than anybody in the draft. And he fit what Kyle did. And then he slips to 15 and the Patriots get lucky. So I do think they moved quicker than I anticipated. I don't think they wanted to do this. They guaranteed $3.5 million. They guaranteed $3.5 million to Cam. But they had to make this decision because this is basically the best player won the job.
I know it's chump change for some teams, but believe me, or should I say, do you believe that the Patriots would throw over $3 million at Cam Newton if they didn't think he was going to be the week one starter? Like throughout when they signed him way back when, and that's all just a ruse. We know Mac's going to be there. We know we're taking a quarterback at 15. We know this is all going to happen. No.
No, it's an insurance. He was an insurance policy.
Cam was?
Yeah.
No. Cam was the starter. Lombardi just said it. The Pats got lucky when Mac Jones was available at 15.
Oh, I agree with that.
Now, no one at the Patriots is going to want to admit to this or believe this. They got lucky. They got lucky that he was available at 15, that they ended up taking him instead of a linebacker, which is what you wanted them to do.
Yep.
You wanted a home record there with that 15th overall pick, and that he developed faster than Bill expected him to during camp. I believe all of that. They lucked out.
Yeah. What if he went at 14?
Now, I don't know how lucky they are. We haven't seen him play a snap yet. Seen him preseason. Looks like he's okay. Looks like it's going to be good. So far, lucky. We'll see how lucky. Chuck and Methuen wants to call out Arcand on something.
Oh, good.
Which I'm not in favor of this, Christian, but we take all calls.
My favorite.
By all means.
Go ahead, Chuck.
No, not call out. I just called him. I believe he was subbing on a Saturday morning. I could be wrong, but...
That's my regular time.
Were you in a submarine?
I just made the prediction that I thought they were going to let Cam go because... Even to game plan, if Cam was a starter, I don't know how the young kid really gets any work when they're game planning Cam. And if the kid was a starter, Cam as a backup just doesn't work because he can't go in with what this kid can do. He would have to have a Cam game plan. So it wouldn't make any sense to keep the two of them. And it just seemed like a no-brainer that, I mean, they did it with John Lynch. I know it wasn't like Cam played a year and Lynch never played for Bill, but... There's been some older guys Bill brought in and let go.
Chuck, I would have told you the same thing.
Lynch was here.
I would have said, nope, get ready for it. Cam Newton's your starter week one. And I did say it. Yeah. I said it multiple times.
I don't remember this call. That's not what I wanted. I didn't want Cam Newton to be the starter, but I think we were all resigned to that fact. And I also think, just for the record, that Bill wanted Cam to be the starter up until maybe cutdown day. I think that there was, you know, a real track for that, and it seemed like that's the way things were going. All signs were pointing to that. And then suddenly on cutdown day, everybody gets shocked. I almost wonder if maybe there was some sort of, I don't want to say a mutiny or anything like that, but maybe they talked Bill out of it, something along those lines. I mean, he was dead set on Cam this entire time.
I think he was, and I think something changed. You know, we're looking at the final preseason numbers right now. We, you know, talked about how, you know, Mac Jones won the camp battle. And it, by looking at it, yes, the actual number breakdown, number one, if Cam Newton has a case to be made here that he wasn't really given a shot, at least in the preseason games. How many, without looking, Arcan, how many passes did Cam Newton attempt in three preseason games?
25, something like that?
21.
Good
21.
Guess. Good guess.
14 of 21 compared to 36 of 52 for Mac Jones. Completion percentage.
That's just one game at Alabama.
Completion percentage. Mac Jones was 69.2. What do you think Cam was?
66.
Excellent. 66.6. Yards per attempt, 7.5 for Mac Jones. What do you think Cam was?
5.5?
7.7.
Ooh, okay.
Touchdowns to interceptions, 1-1 for Cam. Mac threw one touchdown pass, no picks. And he had almost three times the number of snaps that Cam did. I don't think Cam has, you know, much of a case here because as much as Bill said, the morning he released him, that he came into camp at a higher level than he finished last year, I did not see that much of a difference in Cam Newton in camp this year than I saw him play the entirety of last season.
All those numbers you just gave, though, Hardy, are numbers that Cam was getting with starter reps in those preseason games where Mac Jones was getting the backup reps. So, I mean, that generally happens, doesn't it?
Not all of them, and it was a mixture, and Mac was going against twos from the other team.
Right.
It all equals out. It really does. It all kind of comes out in the wash. But if Cam wanted to make a case, it's like, man, I didn't even get a chance. Man, that was Mike Dussault's take on this, you know, from Patriots.com. Like, if Cam ends up being cut and he only got a chance to throw the ball 21 times over the course of three games, he could say, they didn't even look at me.
Yeah, I mean, it happens to 30% of the guys that get cut. You feel like I didn't really get the snaps or opportunities or, you know, my snaps here, my snaps there didn't ever allow me to get any sort of rhythm.
Now, they looked at him in the joint practices and they looked at him in drills.
They know.
They know.
They've been around him. They know. They've had OTAs. They've had the throwing sessions.
But if you just want to take the snapshot of the three preseason game statistics, there's not a lot to go off of with regard to Cam Newton.
But you hear a lot of it, and so much of it yesterday was the vaccination talk, too. And I do think that, that obviously does factor in somewhat. But, like, there were days in May where we had video where they're running routes against air and he's hitting the bleachers. They don't forget that stuff. They don't forget the attention to detail, the accuracy. The biggest reason Mac Jones is here and in the spot he's in and starting is he's so freaking accurate. And that allows you to function at a high level. Then it's up to Josh with the smoke and mirrors and formations and dressings and motion and empty or full set, you know, 12 personnel. Then that's up to Josh to paint that picture. But now he's got a guy with a real palette and a brush to sort of do that with.
If you had to rank 1, 2, 3, and I'll put accuracy just under the category of performance, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Performance, ceiling, and availability. How do you rank those three in the decision to go with Mac Jones instead of Cam Newton?
Give me it again. Performance?
Performance, ceiling.
Ceiling.
And availability.
It's a sweep.
I think it's 1 and 3. 1 and 3 are the biggest. Because ceiling, you'll find that at some point. You never know a player's ceiling. Like, Tom Brady could still have a ceiling that we haven't seen yet. Like, you get the knee fit. No.
That's scary.
You laugh. But, like, I've been reading some of the stuff coming out of there, and he's like, I've never felt this good. Like, maybe he didn't get stuff cleaned up where he should have gotten it cleaned up, and you let the knee hang around, or maybe you think the magic man could, you know, fix it with the hands instead of, you know, a real doctor who went in there and cleaned the knee up. Now he feels great. Is his ceiling bigger than what it was last year? Maybe. Because now you process things better mentally.
But you know,
Mac's going to climb from the mental part of it. Like, but the availability is critical. You need to be there.
Okay, and that's what they kind of dismissed yesterday when Bill was talking about it. He's like,
but what did he say? Why? What's the best thing Mac has? He said it's his performance.
And I think it's a 1-2 punch, 1 and 1A, performance and availability.
Yeah,
that's 1 and 1A.
Ceiling's an outlier. We don't. You know that comes as you go.
That could be 5 years from now.
The performance was better the entire time. And even after he wasn't available, Bill still made him the starter in that last
preseason. He won every day at camp except one.
It was Tuesday
in pads.
And the Eagles game.
And yeah. it was closer than what a lot of us want to admit to. The Wednesday practice that Cam wasn't there against the Giants was the one. You know, that was the standout, and he didn't even have competition that day because Cam wasn't there. But there were other days when it'd be a little bit back and forth. At the very beginning of camp, so you remember that. Oh, Mac looked good. Oh, no, it was Cam was the second day. And then it went back to Mac. You know, we saw in the preseason against the Eagles, Cam looked pretty good in that one. And you go back over the attempts that we just looked at and the stats just from the preseason games. They're essentially identical. The biggest difference is that Mac was out there three times the number of snaps. He got three times the reps than Cam did. But in terms of completion percentage, touchdowns, yards per attempt, they're the same. It's almost identical. So I still think Mac outperformed Cam, but it wasn't the head and shoulders above Cam and a drop off from Cam that I thought would be needed in order for them to go against what I believe was the plan, and that was Cam Newton to start. The availability ended up being a huge, huge factor in this. That's what changed. What changed?
I don't know, Hardy. A lot of vaccinated guys have gotten COVID, too. So,
yeah, that's what that's what Bill said yesterday.
Yeah.
What changed is that Cam's availability became just glaringly obvious to them in that final week of preparations before the last preseason game, because he wasn't even there. Couldn't be there. Wasn't sick. Can't be there. Why? It's the protocol. Those are the rules. Whether you believe in the rules, whether you think the rules are silly or not, that's where he is. He doesn't have any plans of changing his status in that regard, and his availability is going to be in question for the rest of the season. That's where it is. All right. You want to hear what Julian Edelman had to say about all this?
Yeah.
Are you done with this segment?
No.
Okay.
Right here.
All right. Julian Edelman had thoughts on Matt getting the job over Cam. We'll do that after Arcan gives us the hub headlines here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds.
What do I?
I'm talking about Greer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beetle. I thought you said you had avocado toast for breakfast this morning, Zo.
I did.
Well, what are you eating now?
Well, I went down to pick up my brand new cherry flavored 5-hour energy drink that you can get in packs of 12 or 24. And the lovely Linda down there in the corner said, go ahead and just take half a bagel there. So I'm going to dip this in my 5-hour energy drink.
I think that's what I think that's what they recommend, both the bagel people and the 5-hour energy
right.
people.
Yep. Let's go.
Julian Edelman says he doesn't think that Mac beat out Cam. So did you know Edelman was an analyst for Inside the NFL?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. Three-time Super Bowl champion shared his take on Mac Jones overtaking Newton on a conference call yesterday. He said, nothing surprises me with Bill. Just look at the history. Logan Mankins was let go. Lawyer Malloy. Seymour. I think the kid came out and did very well. You could see in his eyes, see in his reads, that he felt very comfortable in the pocket. He was looking at the right areas. He ran the no huddle well. I don't think he beat Cam out of the job, but the ceiling is so high, and after spending the 15th overall pick on him, they're going to go with him. It didn't surprise me.
Don't think he beat him, huh?
I don't think he beat him out. He says ceiling.
I don't.
Edelman's going with out of our 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Performance, availability, ceiling. Edelman's going ceiling.
That was a team when Edelman wasn't available.
Not great.
Yeah. His availability over the years was so critical and important to this team's winning and success that I put that first and foremost. He knows that. He's not here every day. He doesn't watch practice. I don't know how many preseason games he won, but I'm sure he keeps up with it. He's around. He talks to guys. I think he played with Cam too. Don't forget that.
And the best game of his life with Cam.
That game with Seattle was one of the best games those two had together. The best game those two had together. And then Jules' knee just couldn't hang in there with it. You know, the pain, it was too much. I'm sure when you play with somebody, you kind of side with somebody and you give them the benefit of the doubt. I think he's being nice to Cam there. But I think for the grand scope of things, when you look at it, everybody that was there, that watched practice, that charted it, the beat writers, the reporters, everybody, you know, the kid had a better camp. And in their eyes, that's beating a guy out. The problem is it wasn't always billed as a competition. I don't know when the competition started, when it ended, because in a fair competition, a true fair competition, you're given the same tools to succeed in different groupings. You know what I'm saying? So I would always expect if there was going to be a competition that Cam would start, then Mac would start the next game, then maybe Cam would start. But it was always order to me, where Cam was always first. And that's Julian being a player. When you see that, okay, that guy's number one. You know? But I respect Julian's opinion. He would know as much as me, you know? Or more so than me. He was in a huddle with him. But to not think he didn't beat him out, that's not fair.
Okay.
He beat him out.
But there are instances, even in this camp, where a player doesn't necessarily beat the other guy out and get the job. How about Quinn Nordin? Did he beat out Nick Folk for the job?
He was there. Folk was there, what, one day?
Did he? I saw him miss extra. What it was? Extra one extra point in the Eagles game, though.
Yeah.
and another field goal that were like, oh, yuck.
There was like three in a row in the Eagles game. And I said, oh, it's in his head now. But then he corrected it and he had a better last game. Now, Folk is hurt. He's still dealing with something. So I think what this does.
Availability, but Folk is still out there kicking. So how hurt is he?
Still out there kicking. But I think let's make sure he's 100% healthy. Let's put him on the short-term IR where you have the ability to pull him off quickly if something goes awry with the kid. Keep continuing to coach the kid up, work with him, work on the accuracy. The leg strength is there. He could give Jake Bailey, you know, rests on the kickoff. So that could save Bailey too. Part of Nordine being here helps save the leg of Bailey. Because all he does is just kick the ball four times a game. But it's a different style. It's a different swing. You know, you could pull something, you know, kicking it that way. So,
all right. I kind of get the sense that Edelman, maybe if he were to, you know, really think about it, and again, this is not a conference call. It's not a prepared speech. He's probably along the same lines that I am, where it's like, all right, Mac looked really good. And he looked better than Cam. I just didn't see it as a clear-cut victory.
Yep.
He's the guy, obviously. Look at that guy. He stinks. That guy's awesome. Mac had more good days than Cam, but it wasn't a huge margin. And the level of performance was better, but not. It wasn't enough to where I thought they were going to change things. And they changed him anyway. So maybe that's what Edelman is referring to. You make a good point about Edelman's availability, though, not just, you know, in his most recent seasons with the Patriots, but just over the years.
And Julian's ceiling is probably the lowest of them all. You know, slower and shorter than most receivers, right?
Right.
But his ability to crank it up and be tenacious and his availability and his production, you know, go well over the ceiling of that.
Yeah. I mean, I remember you saying it years ago that, like, as much as it is Brady and always, you know, will be in any analysis, the motor of that offense when Edelman was out there was Edelman. That was it. That was the
Your offense was built around Edelman. He was your third down cog.
That was
he's your stick mover.
Right.
Third and seven, guess where Tom's going. Third and 12, Kansas City, AFC title game, guess where he's going. Edelman.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to do just a moment here on the Red Sox. They did win last night. I still think that this team is done for. And the COVID issues plaguing this team right now are really head-scratching. Jones brought up some very good points about this morning. I want to rehash that a little bit. And
he leave his note page around, the hieroglyphics?
No. I did post the photos yesterday.
I heard him bitching about it, like talking about like it's alien script. He's not of this world.
Oh, no, he's off. You know what? That reminds me. I want to ask you something about Jones, something else that got brought up on the morning show here this morning. But okay. We got time to do
it. Do they hang him upside down in the corner and let him sleep here?
No, he does. Room. He sleeps upside down in a cave somewhere.
Yeah, it's an off-site cave. All right, we'll do that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
To talk sports in Boston, you talk to these guys.
That will now be a recycled take.
Right, but it's a retake. It's a reheated take. Microwave take.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Not good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Red Sox win it 3-2. They have knocked off Tampa Bay tonight at the Trop. Ottavino locks it up as he strikes out Lau.
Yeah, he didn't go with a fastball through a breaking ball. Lau could not hold up. And boy, did the Red Sox need a save here and a win. This is a huge win for them to stop the bleeding.
Stop the bleeding. Too late. John Tomasi already wrote, time to wave the white flag in the Red Sox season.
Why the season?
What? Well,
division, yeah.
Couple of reasons. Number one, the team has not responded well to the team not doing anything at the trade deadline. Maz broke this down really well last night on the baseball show, the baseball hour, whatever it's called now. And he put it like this. the team didn't do anything at the deadline. That's on the front office.
Right.
The players felt like they don't think we're very good, and that feeling that the players have is also on the front office.
Yeah, but it's also on the players, too, to get their heads out of their ass. At some point, and like pride and your ability to play as a professional athlete should take over.
The way that the players responded and the way they like played powder. After that, that's on them. So the blame goes to both. But they didn't do anything, and that told the players, we don't think much of this team. So the feeling that created, and of course the not doing anything, that's on Chaim Bloom and the rest of the management. But then the way the players have performed after that, that's on them.
Yep.
So that's it.
The reason you win last night is because of Chris Hill. Because Chris Hill could go over. He's basically one of your lone pitchers that could actually go over six innings. You have a COVID crisis on your team now that you don't know if you could get a handle on. It seems like every day you're just, what's the next big thing to drop? Who's the next player to get it?
Well,
I mean, Bogart's got it. That's your best player.
Chaim Bloom did talk about the vaccination status of the team and what he wishes for. Do you have that ready there, T-Bone?
Thank you, Chaim.
What's your reaction, Chaim, to the news of another player getting tested positive?
It's gut-wrenching. How else can you react? I mean, not every single one has been. We try to go to great lengths to keep these sorts of things from happening, and then to see what's happening now, it's really hard. This goes beyond baseball. You know, we feel, and I certainly feel in the chair I sit in, a lot of responsibility to every single person in our traveling party and in our organization. And when, you know, we can't, our powers to prevent something like this from happening and from continuing to happen only go so far, that's a bad feeling.
Yeah, I mean, you're pulling your hair out, right? Because the report is what? Kiki is double vaccinated. And he's one of those breakthrough guys that got it. I'm sure they have unvaccinated guys that have not tested positive. So the staff doctor, you got to, in the front office, got to be pulling the hair out. Like, how do we prevent this? Other than, like, he wants the team. He's pro-vaccine. He wants the team to be vaccinated. But ultimately, it comes down to the personal choice. Like, you sit there and say, okay, well, explain to me how the vaccinated guys got this. But we got one guy over here that's not vaccinated. We're all in the same room. We share the same plane. We have the same common space. And then this guy doesn't get it. And everybody's immune system. This isn't about the what's the answer? What are they looking for him to say other than we're going to make it a mandate for all our guests?
He wants to get above the 85% threshold so they're not held to these rigorous standards anymore, and these guys don't have to sit out anymore. But there's guys who keep reverting back to it's personal choice. Yeah, it is a personal choice. And eventually, one of these teams around here is going to put the hammer down like they have in other towns and said, if you don't get vaxxed, you're not going to play. We're going to do that with the NBA story later on in this show where they're not listening to any of this anymore.
Right.
Your personal freedoms do not trump my responsibility of running this team and running a business. So take your personal choice. And it is also your choice to not play here anymore because you're not going to unless you get vaccinated. How's that for your personal choice?
You see the front office guy that stepped down?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bob Boone. Yeah.
Bob Boone said, I'm not dealing with this anymore. I'm done.
He's not saying I'm not dealing with this. He said, I'm not getting vaccinated.
Right. But he's done. Like, when you step down, like, I'm done.
Oh, yeah. Pretty soon it's going to be that or quit or be fired.
Yeah.
You're going to have the choice.
Yeah.
What would happen in Foxborough if somebody in the front office decided not to get vaccinated?
They wouldn't be allowed in the building.
They're not getting right.
Yeah.
They're not even giving him a chance to quit. I'll give him credit for that. All right. What else did Chaim Bloom have to say about this?
Yeah. Well, I wish everybody in our organization were vaccinated and for that matter, everybody period who's eligible. I'm a strong proponent of vaccination and so is our organization. Every person that in this organization that isn't vaccinated pains me. And we know that the Delta variant is a different animal. And even against the Delta variant, the data do suggest that vaccination still helps. And that's why we are strong proponents of it. Now, at the same time, even though that's true in the aggregate, in terms of this specific situation, we have a lot of breakthrough infections. you know, there's no real way to know if it would have been different if we had a higher vaccination rate or not. In this case, I don't know that that's knowable, and it doesn't seem that helpful to play the what if game.
It doesn't seem helpful, and as always, this comes down to a risk reward type of thing. You know, do you want to risk not being able to play, having your team have multiple guys out now, or do you want to maybe, you know, take the chance of getting a vaccine that might stop the spread a little bit? And as Bloom also said, if somebody is vaccinated, they should pose less of a risk. They should get through the virus more quickly. That one I don't think can be debated. If you are vaccinated, yeah, you can still test positive. You can still get sick. But
you may not even know you're sick.
But that's right. You wouldn't. I'm saying that's just a positive test, asymptomatic.
Right.
But those numbers don't lie. The unvaccinated people who, and the people who are on ventilators and are dying of this, those numbers are way off the charts, and those are the unvaccinated ones. I'm not saying it never happens for people who are vaccinated, but those numbers, even if you take them from whatever source you want, they're still going to lean that way. Bloom is just the only one saying it so far here in town. I want everybody to be vaccinated. Has anyone said that from the Patriots?
No.
No.
The rules are different in baseball, too. Like in the NFL, if you're vaccinated and you test positive, all you have to do is get two negative tests in 24 hours, not be symptomatic, and you're fine. If you're vaccinated in baseball and you catch it, you're out for 10 days. So I think NFL's incentivizing of the vaccine has really sort of helped kind of, you know, thin the herd and spread and make it so, like, if you're vaccinated, it's better for you than if you're not. In baseball, they didn't really go that far.
It's like a bigger penalty if you get it in baseball.
I think they're more scared. They're more scared of their players in baseball.
Because their union is the best. The union's got them wrapped around their finger.
But they also started much earlier in the year when there wasn't as much out there. And things, that, you know, this whole thing is fluid. Everyone's just making it up as they go. But you would think that Chaim Bloom would be among the last, you know, people in this town leading a team to say we should get vaccinated. If anyone has cause to say it doesn't make a difference, it would be Chaim Bloom.
Well, and
based
also,
on the rules that you were just talking about, our camp, but he's not saying that.
But also this, there's more travel in baseball. There's more games. You're playing daily. You're in more contact on a regular basis with random people, you would assume. So what the hell is their rate at then? Are they near the threshold? Or are they not near it? Like, you hear conflicting reports, like, most of them are vaccinated, but then you hear there's a bunch of them that aren't.
They're not at the 85%. That's all we know.
They're one of six.
Right.
They're one of six. How's that happen here?
I don't know. Jones talked about it this morning.
In the north.
Like, for all the boasting we do about, like,
the south, or
look at those idiots down in Florida just spreading COVID around and stuff.
Licking doorknobs.
Your teams are not at the threshold here. You just... Your quarterback room now consists of Mac Jones, and that's it. Because I feel
Hoyer and Gilbert.
Yeah,
hello Gilbert.
Because your guy who was going to start the season won't get vaccinated, so I wouldn't puff your chest out too much talking about how smart you are in Boston. Because around here, there seems to be a lot of reluctance, and I think it's getting the okay from some certain people up on top, like. It's all right. I understand why you're reluctant. I understand. Nobody likes to be told what to do. I got your back on
grown
this
men,
one.
Yeah.
Grown men don't like to be told what to do. That's okay. Don't get that. What difference does it make? Lots of people vaccinated still getting it. That's what Bill said. It comes the attitude comes from the top down. Is he saying something different behind closed doors, saying you better get vaccinated if you want to be on this team? Doesn't seem like that.
Doesn't seem like that at all.
No. All right, we'll step aside here. 90 seconds, no commercials. Arcan's got the headlines, and then we will return. Talk about the comparison between Mac Jones and Chad Pennington. There's a comp there. Talk about it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.